Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score, and today's episode is presented by Head & Shoulders. Offense for great hair, defense against flakes. Bit of a different episode today because we're doing this Thanksgiving week. Hopefully you checked out Monday's show. That was the usual waiver wire stuff, but I also did a preview of the three Thanksgiving Day games, which now has turned into two Thanksgiving Day games since the Ravens have all these COVID cases that they're dealing with, and now the league has decided to move the game. I went over that Texans-Lions game, I went over the Washington-Dallas game, and I went over the Ravens-Steelers contest. So if you're looking for notes on any of those games, you can go back, you can listen to that show. Today, I'm going to go over the rest of the games on the slate, and I'm going to give notes on every single game, on every single team, hopefully some actionable advice for you, and then at the end, as always, I'll discuss the players that I think are being overlooked in Week 12. So let's get to it here. And I'm going to go in the order that the games are listed in the box score page on the Score app. And I've said it before, but our scores page, they are just the best. I mean, a ton of information in there, betting stuff, everything you need. And I guess it better be good, right? I mean, it's given our name, it better be pretty good. So that's our bread and butter right there. Make sure you check those out. So let's start with the Raiders and the Falcons here. On the Raiders side, I know you probably think I'm going to talk about Derek Carr and how he's going to light it up against that Falcons secondary, which is one of the worst pass defenses in the league. But no, I want to talk about something, well, maybe a little positive for Atlanta here, that they've been decent against the run this year. They're allowing the seventh fewest fantasy points per game to running backs, and only one back has topped 75 rushing yards against them this year. And that was back in week two. It was Ezekiel Elliott back when Dak Prescott was healthy and that Cowboys offense was rolling. So I know the Saints did all right on the ground against them last week, but a big chunk of that came from Taysom Hill, a rushing quarterback. That's a little bit different, but it's just something to keep in mind for Josh Jacobs' outlook this week. He should be fine. I'll still have him ranked as a low-end RB1 this week, but it's much easier to move the ball through the air against this Falcons team, so I'm expecting a big day from Derek Carr and company. On the Falcons side, we're going to be watching to see what Julio Jones' practice participation is this week. He was limited on Wednesday, but if you go back to Sunday, he was in and out of the lineup, ultimately out of the lineup by the end of the game with that hamstring issue that's been a lingering problem for him. And this stat seems crazy, but friend of the show, JJ Zacharyson, tweeted out that Matt Ryan's fantasy points per game when Julio has played the majority of the snaps is 23.3 fantasy points per game. When Julio hasn't, it's just 9 fantasy points per game. Now, it's a small sample size, I know, but it's similar to what we've seen with Matthew Stafford and Kenny Golladay. When Kenny Golladay's not there, Stafford just isn't the same quarterback. It's not that shocking, right? You lose your number one weapon, all of a sudden it's harder to put up fantasy points. But that means I think we should be pretty wary of Matt Ryan this week. Even in a good matchup against the Raiders, if we don't see Julio suit up, it's going to be a problem, and there's still a chance that he plays, right? I said he's limited on Wednesday. Maybe he'll gut it out. We'll see what his practice participation is and his game status by the end of the week. But right now, it's just something to keep in mind because it definitely has been bothering him, and it might be smart for him to take a week off, but that might not be in Julio's DNA. He's just not that kind of guy. Chargers versus Bills. For the Chargers, I know everyone is excited about Austin Eckler coming back to practice, and I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but this guy is coming off a serious injury that kept him out for 2 months, so I'm not confident that he's going to be active this weekend. His head coach, Anthony Lynn, he wouldn't commit to Eckler being in the lineup on Sunday yet. Now, it's early in the week. Maybe he wants to see him in practice, but he's only going to get a couple practices here after this long layoff, so I just wouldn't jump to conclusions that he's going to be the number one running back in this offense on Sunday. It is possible, but I'm not going there yet. And that could make things fairly interesting in this backfield because Kalen Ballage left last week's game early in the game and he was able to come back, but then he got hurt on the very final drive. And I don't see a lot of people talking about that, but he got hurt on that last drive. He limped off, looked like it could be something serious. So there's no guarantee that Ballage is going to be out there this week, let alone Eckler. And that makes Tremaine Pope and Josh Kelly kind of sneaky stashes right now. I would throw them on your bench just in case we see those other two guys not in the lineup this week. And it's a funny thing too, and I'll mention it just because we had that Nyheim Hines birthday game a couple weeks ago, but it's Tremaine Pope's birthday on Sunday. So I don't know if every team takes that into account, but we saw Nyheim Hines have the monster game. So if you're going by that logic, then maybe it'll be a Pope game this week. On the Bills side, it's not looking great for John Brown. He's missing practice, and that's coming off of a bye week. So Cole Beasley would become a wide receiver 3 in fantasy if Brown is out. And then Gabriel Davis, we've seen him pop up a few times, the rookie. He would be a wide receiver 4 flex option without Brown in the lineup. And it also hurts Josh Allen. I feel like I've talked about this before, but some of his worst games of the season have come when they don't have Brown in the offense. So don't get me wrong, you're still going to play Allen as a QB1 and a top 5 or 6 option for sure, but it might just take a little bit off the top for him this week if he doesn't have Brown. Lower his ceiling just a little bit. Giants versus Bengals. We want to talk about lowered ceilings. I mean, the Bengals offense without Joe Burrow, but let's touch on the Giants first. Wayne Gallman is a very intriguing option this week. The yardage totals, they haven't been huge, but with Devonta Freeman sidelined, Gallman has led the Giants backfield with 54 total yards in week 7, 62 in week 8, 77 in week 9, and 60 in week 10. And that might not sound like much, but he's also found the end zone 5 times in the last month, 4 straight games visiting the paint. The Giants are 6-point favorites on the road in this one, facing this Joe Burrow-less Cincy team. And the Bengals' run defense has not been a group to fear. They've allowed 4 different running backs to top 100 yards from scrimmage against them in their last 5 outings. So there should be lots of opportunity for Gallman in this game. I like him as an RB2 in fantasy this week. For the Bengals, I want to approach this week as a wait and see if you can. We want to know what this offense looks like without Burrow. I'm a little more optimistic now that we found out that Brandon Allen is going to start instead of Ryan Finley, because Ryan Finley, let's face it, he was just a disaster last year. Didn't look much better on Sunday in relief duty either. So I would try to bench the Bengals, and that means Tyler Boyd, that means T. Higgins. I know they're guys that you've been trusting all season long, but I would treat them as very risky wide receiver 3s. And then we found out on Wednesday, literally right before we started recording, that Gio Bernard is missing practice today due to a concussion or being in the concussion protocol. Not all the details are out there yet, but that means that Samaje Perine and, to a lesser extent, Travion Williams are guys that you should be going out and stashing on your bench just in case Gio's not going to be healthy, because we know Mixon's on IR now. He's not going to be available this week either, but we'll see what this offense looks like with Allen under center, and then we'll go from there next week. Titans versus Colts. For Tennessee, it feels like just yesterday it was the Titans that were the ones dealing with the COVID outbreak in their locker room. Now it's the Ravens, but we don't need to worry about that. Derrick Henry, he is heating up. Back-to-back games with over 100 rushing yards. The weather is getting colder, everybody. It's turning into Derrick Henry season. And the Colts, they've been solid against the run this year, but just a couple weeks ago, Henry put up 109 total yards against them. It wasn't that long ago. And now DeForest Buckner got placed on the COVID list today. So that's a huge hit to their run defense. And that means another big game's coming here from Henry. And remember, I've talked about it already, but the playoff schedule for Henry, the Jags, the Lions, and the Packers. This guy is going to win you your league again. Every year he does this. So this year, the schedule makers, they couldn't have been nicer to him this season. I mean, those 3 matchups are just fantastic for fantasy. For the Colts, listen, I'm not taking a victory lap here. I warned against that last week because you could be right one week, you could be wrong the next. But all I will say is that a couple weeks ago, I suggested to go and buy low on Jonathan Taylor, because even though Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins, even though they were getting work, Taylor was still getting the first chance to have the hot hand most weeks, and that's how this backfield has been operating. And then last week, he finally delivered, had a good matchup with the Packers, put up 114 yards from scrimmage, including 4 catches, which was very nice to see. I mean, he's been getting at least a couple catches every single week, and now the next 4 games, he gets all green light matchups. He gets the Titans, the Texans, the Raiders, and the Texans again. They are all in the top seven for fantasy points allowed to running backs. And in the fantasy championship, I know it looks bad because he gets the Steelers, but their run defense hasn't been as good since Devin Bush went out. So Taylor is going to be a strong RB2 down the stretch. Browns versus Jaguars. How much is Baker Mayfield going to throw in this game? Will he even throw at all? Does he have to? I feel like the Browns are just going to be able to run at will with Chubb and Hunt on this Jags team. Jacksonville, top five matchup for fantasy backs, and they're starting Mike Glennon at quarterback. So Cleveland is going to roll in this game. Chubb, Hunt, I have them both as RB1s in my rankings. So be careful with this Browns passing game because they likely won't need to throw that much. They're 6.5-point favorites on the road in this game. And then for Jacksonville, we're starting James Robinson. The guy has just been a consistent stud in fantasy all year long. The volume is outstanding. But Glennon is a serious problem for this receiving core. So DJ Shark falls into the boomer bust wide receiver 3 range. It helps him that Denzel Ward's going to be out for the Browns, but I'm not touching anybody else in that Jags offense. Panthers versus Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater is in. Christian McCaffrey still out. That's according to head coach Matt Rhule. So we can approach this as we have most weeks this season. Mike Davis is going to be a fringe RB1. DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson as wide receiver 2s. And Curtis Samuel, he's not that far behind them at this point. Wide receiver 3 flex with the potential to outproduce those guys any given week. And as long as Bridgewater is healthy enough, he's in a great spot. The Vikings, they struggle to get a pass rush going, which, I mean, it's not that surprising, right? They gave up Yannick Ngakoue. They lost to Hunter for the season. And Minnesota's allowed at least 3 touchdown passes to 4 of the last 6 quarterbacks they've faced. So Teddy's in that streamer conversation now that it's looking like he's going to play. For Minnesota, Adam Thielen is on the COVID list, so we'll be watching that one intensely to see if he's going to get cleared to play. As long as he doesn't have a positive test, he should have time to get cleared. And Mike Zimmer, he wouldn't give us that much. There weren't that many details coming out of him about this. So it doesn't really change that much in terms of the other guys in this offense because Justin Jefferson's been coming on even with Thielen in the lineup. So Jefferson's a high-end wide receiver too. And if Thielen does miss, then you'd start to look at maybe the tight ends would become a little more interesting, right? I've talked about Irv Smith before. He would get an opportunity to shine if Thielen wasn't in the lineup. But overall, just expect a lot of Dalvin Cook in this one as usual. Cardinals versus Patriots. I'm so curious about how the Patriots are going to approach this one because I know their defense hasn't been as strong this year. They've had the opt-outs. They've had some injuries. But how they deal with DeAndre Hopkins is going to be very, very interesting because Hopkins, he hasn't had a ton of success against New England in the past. No touchdowns, generally held in check. And this is a different offense than the one that he had in Houston. So that could change things. But in the past, they often push coverage to his side of the field and then let their top corner go at the other receiver, the number 2 receiver in the offense in Houston. Now, how they approach this one could be different because we've seen Stephon Gilmore was talking already this week and he made it sound like he's the one who's going to be covering Hopkins in this game. So maybe Gilmore and a little help over the top. I mean, I know Belichick loves to eliminate that top threat on the other team. And in this case, it's either Hopkins or it's Kyler Murray's rushing ability. I mean, those are the two best things going in this offense right now. So I'll have Hopkins slightly lower in the wide receiver 1 ranks than most weeks, but still a wide receiver 1, just not in that top 3 or 4 for this game. And then for New England, this has the making of a James White game. The Patriots, they could get down here as home dogs, and Rex Burkhead's out for the year, and that means that White is right back in the mix as an RB3 flex. Just because the lack of proven weapons in the passing game there, it makes the pass-catching running back even more important this season. And I know they've used White a lot in the past, but this year, he'd kind of been passed on the depth chart by Burkhead. So now without Burkhead in the lineup, it's White sliding right back into that role. You got Damian Harris and maybe even Sony Michel be active in this one. And they're really only early down options. They have the skill set to catch some passes, but neither of them's really been asked to do that at all. Dolphins versus Jets for Miami. Tua's going to be back under center. This is a strong-minded rookie. People are worried about him getting benched last week. Don't worry about this guy. I mean, he's going to be fine. He is dealing with some sort of thumb injury, though. We saw him pop up as limited on Wednesday's practice report. But overall, he gets the Jets this week. So as long as he's playing, he's going to have a chance to get right. Not worried about him. Not worried about this Dolphins offense. The Jets give up the fourth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. So we should see the Dolphins passing attack do just fine here. And we're going to be monitoring Myles Gaskin as well. If he can play this week, he returned to practice on Wednesday. So that gives him a shot to be out there on Sunday. And whether it's Gaskin or whether it's still Salvin Ahmed, either of those guys could be RB2s against the Jets. It's going to be a positive game script for sure. So hopefully we get a clear decision on who's going to be starting and it's not just some sort of cloudy, muddled mess, because on these transition weeks where we got guys coming in or leaving the lineup and injuries, it's been kind of difficult to pinpoint which Dolphins running back is going to get the most touches. We've been surprised before, whether it was Gaskin or Ahmed in these different weeks. If everyone's healthy, I'm betting on Gaskin if he's available. For the Jets, as much as I like this passing attack, as much as I've talked about some of these weapons like Breshad Perriman and Denzel Mims coming on, the Dolphins are not a good matchup for these outside receivers. So you got to temper your expectations a little bit this week for Perriman, for Mims. You could probably find better options elsewhere, but they get the Raiders and the Seahawks in their next two games. So we're going to go right back to them as flex options in those matchups. On to the late afternoon games here. Saints versus Broncos. For the Saints, Alvin Kamara didn't catch a pass for the first time in his career last week. So while we're so excited about Taysom Hill's potential for fantasy, it's worth noting that his presence, it might cut into Kamara's ceiling just a little bit here. And it's also because Michael Thomas is popping back up now as a real fantasy factor. We saw him have a couple quiet games there. And then last week, really step back up. So this isn't to say that you're going to bench Kamara. Obviously, that's not going to happen. That would just be silly. It's just he's not locked in as the number one overall running back at this point. I think that honor has to go to Dalvin Cook, just with the volume he's getting. Kamara, still a top five guy, though. Let's not be crazy. And it is nice to see Thomas producing again. That was something we talked about on last week's show, a possibility there that he could reemerge down the stretch. And even with Hill under center, he was able to do it. So that's great. On the Broncos side, I'll be honest, I don't have anything great to say about the Broncos, and that's, I don't mean that in a negative way, I just mean Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay, they're going to cannibalize each other a little bit, so neither of them is going to be that exciting. I know Gordon had the touchdowns last week and led to a decent game. They both really had okay games last week, but the Saints defense this week is going to be a lot tougher on them. And then through the air, I like Jerry Jeudy. I like Tim Patrick as a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. Noah Fant as a low-end tight end 1. It just seems like this offense is pretty straightforward right now. I mean, so let's just keep moving along here. I don't want to waste too much time on the Broncos. 49ers versus Rams. Not enough people are talking about the returns of Raheem Mostert and of Deebo Samuel. Both of those guys are expected to be back this week. Maybe it's because they're playing the Rams, and we know that Rams defense is pretty much shutting down everybody these days. But after that, the Niners get Buffalo, Washington, Dallas, and Arizona for the rest of the fantasy season. So definitely some matchups that they can exploit there. And I know it's been a while since we've seen Mostert, but this year, in the four games that he's played, he's got yardage totals of 151 yards, 107, 119, and 76. And the last time we saw him, that was before he got hurt. That was also in a game against the Rams. He was putting up okay stats there before he left back in week 6. So Mostert can be a definite difference maker on your fantasy team here down the stretch, an RB2 with RB1 upside. So hopefully you hung on to him or you traded for him when I mentioned that as a potential move a couple of weeks ago. And then Deebo, if he's healthy, he can be a wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2 upside. And another guy that I want him in my lineup, even with Nick Mullins starting, I got trust in Kyle Shanahan. They're coming off the bye. He'll get this offense humming down the stretch. Chiefs versus Buccaneers. What can we say about the Chiefs? I mean, if you got them, you're likely starting them. So Mahomes, Kelsey, Tyreek, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, when you look at Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson, they're more risky flex options, especially in a matchup with a solid defense like the Bucs. Le'Veon Bell's more of a stash, just in the event that CEH gets hurt in the coming weeks. Bell could be a league winner in this offense. If you're starting Bell at a desperation, you got to hope for a touchdown. He would be touchdown dependent. And last week, he was able to pay off, right? He found the end zone. So I guess it is possible, but not a very strong start. For the Bucs, they're on a short week coming off a really difficult matchup with the Rams defense that I feel like I've mentioned a couple times now. And they have to deal with a Chiefs team that doesn't really make it any easier on opposing quarterbacks, right? They're the sixth hardest matchup for fantasy quarterbacks on the season, but they haven't been as tough of late. If you look a little more recently, Teddy Bridgewater hit them up for 310 and 3 total touchdowns in week 9. And then coming off their bye, KC gave up 275 and 3 scores to Derek Carr last week. So it's possible we could see Brady bounce back here. If not, he'll get the bye week to rest up in week 13, and then he'll come back for the fantasy playoffs, and the Bucs get the Vikings, the Falcons, and the Lions over that stretch. The Minnesota game is in Tampa Bay, so you have to think the weather should be okay there. And then the other two games are on the road, but they're in domes. So all three of them are favorable matchups for Brady. Should finally see him take advantage of all these weapons that he has in the passing game. Might even help some fantasy managers make a run in December. We'll see. Two games left here. Sunday Night Football, Bears versus Packers. For the Bears, as of this recording Wednesday afternoon, we still don't know who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Bears. And Nick Foles is dealing with that hip issue, Trubisky the shoulder. Foles didn't practice on Thursday. Trubisky actually did, so maybe we're leaning a little more towards Mitch getting his job back in this game. Doesn't really matter. Neither's been good for fantasy this year, even in positive matchups, but we'll continue to trust Allen Robinson, and he just keeps producing through it all. Doesn't matter who's at quarterback. The guy's a high-end wide receiver, too. And David Montgomery's going to be back this week, which is kind of interesting. He's been dealing with that concussion. He's out of the protocol now, and he's a decent RB2 against the Packers. Packers are giving up the third most fantasy points to running backs. I mean, just recently, 114 yards to Jonathan Taylor, 112 yards to James Robinson, 226 yards to Dalvin Cook. We all remember that game. And then 84 to David Johnson, 121 to Ronald Jones. The list goes on, and that's just since their week 5 bye. And I'm not even mentioning the touchdowns. I'm just talking about big yardage days. So I know Montgomery hasn't really been everything maybe we hoped. He doesn't really have that next gear. I've talked about it before, but he's a pretty good play here as an RB2, unless Matt Nagy's just insane and decides to pass all day against the Packers, which, let's face it, I mean, is possible under this regime. We've seen crazy things like that before. For the Packers, Devontae Adams missed practice on Wednesday, but I'm guessing that's just a maintenance day and he'll be out there. We'll keep an eye on it, but I'm not too worried. So you're firing up everybody in this Packers offense as usual, even against the Bears pass defense, which they've been able to limit most quarterbacks this season, but Aaron Rodgers has just been playing too well to even question him at all. You have him in your lineup if he's on your roster. Guy's got multiple touchdown passes in every game this season except that one bizarre week against the Bucs where they started hot and then they just completely melted down in that game. Other than that, Rodgers has been money, so keep cashing in there. And then the last game we'll talk about, Monday Night Football, Seahawks versus Eagles. We're expecting Chris Carson's going to be back for this game. That's what Pete Carroll told us last week, so we'll take him at his word. And unless we hear something negative about Carson, I'm going to be starting him as a borderline RB1 in this matchup already. And the Eagles have a tough front. It's tough to run on them, but Carson was averaging the 8th most fantasy points at his position before he got hurt in week 7. So don't forget how good this guy is. And with the respect that defenses have to pay to Russell Wilson and that passing attack, we saw it last week. Carlos Hyde was able to rack up stats. So Carson's going to slide right back into his starting role. And I would do the same. I'd put him right back into my starting lineup. And then on the Eagles side, when it comes to Wentz, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm starting to feel like Homer Simpson when he was trying to eat the chips and the puppies kept jumping up and grabbing them right out of his hand each time. You know, well, maybe this time it'll work. He's made some bad decisions. He's turning the ball over. There's only so much that we can blame on the offensive line, but Wentz is still the QB12 on the season in fantasy. So he's a low-end QB1. And this Seahawks matchup is a great one. They're allowing the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks on the year. So while it's dangerous, he is still an option this week. Just, I would hope, because I know how it feels. I have Wentz on some teams. I would hope that you have somebody else that you can start with a little more confidence. But if you don't, you can roll the dice and put Wentz back out there in this one. I'm taking a wait-and-see approach with Travis Fulgham. He's cratered the last couple weeks. When everybody got healthy and came back into the lineup, Fulgham just hasn't done anything. He got 12 targets in these two games, and he's only had one catch for 8 yards in each contest. So he can't be trusted as anything more than a dart throw flex this week, even in this great matchup against the Seahawks. So Miles Sanders is an RB1. Dallas Goedert is a tight end one, really top five or six guy there. Jalen Reagor as a flex that I feel a little better about. He's put up okay stats the last 2 weeks. And then Fulgham as a very risky flex until we see him do something again. And that brings us to the final portion of today's show, the usual, which players are being overlooked in week 12. I will start with Kenyon Drake. Since he came back from injury, he posted 109 yards from scrimmage on the Bills. Then he put up 60 yards and a score on the Seahawks. The Seahawks are pretty tough against the run there, so that's even a little bit better than it might look. But he got the touchdown to save the fantasy day. The Patriots are far from a shutdown unit at this point, and Drake might be the healthiest that he's been all year, so I'm treating him as a low-end RB2, and I'm okay with having him in my lineup despite some of those struggles he had earlier in the year. Some other guys that I mentioned throughout the show, I mean, Gallman, Mostert, James White, I think all those guys deserve a little more respect this week. At receiver, Antonio Brown, we haven't seen a huge game yet, but since he joined the team 3 weeks ago, he has tied for the lead in targets with Mike Evans, 26 targets in 3 games, including 13 targets last week. So Brady is looking for him. It's only a matter of time before he breaks one or before he finds the end zone, maybe once, maybe twice. Get Brown in your lineup as a wide receiver 3 with a ton of upside if you can do it. And after my rant on Monday's show, I am disappointed to say that Tim Patrick is only rostered in 23% of leagues. You are breaking my heart. I know there's a lot of good receivers out there this year, but Patrick has been solid for fantasy. I've gone over it a bunch of different times. He belongs on more rosters, so I'm mentioning him again. And then keep those guys that I talked about earlier in mind, like Deebo Samuel or Cole Beasley or Gabriel Davis. I think they'll be flying under the radar a bit in week 12. And then at tight end, Austin Hooper. He still hasn't had the big game, but it's coming. He played his first 2 games back from injury in heavy wind and then in heavy rain, but he still saw 5 targets last week, caught 3 for 33 yards, and at tight end, that's a pretty good start, right? So we get some good weather. I think those numbers will come up even more, and the Jags give up the 3rd most fantasy points to tight end, so Hooper's a high-end tight end too, who might end up as a tight end 1 this week. And I'd also be looking at Mike Gesicki, who's had over 40 yards in 3 straight games. And if you want to go deeper, remember the Seahawks tight ends. Now that Greg Olsen went down, Jacob Hollister and Will Disley, both those guys are in play as dart throws. But that's all for today's show. It was all me all the time here. Make sure you're checking out my rankings. They'll be up a little earlier Thursday morning than usual so that you got time to set your lineups before the Thanksgiving Day games kick off. And then I'll have my usual start, sit, stash, quit column up on Friday morning. And barring anything crazy happening, I'll be back answering your questions during our Friday live show at 1 p.m. Eastern. But until then, big thanks for all the recent ratings and reviews. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.